بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها. حضرت عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنه reports that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, on the day of judgment it will be said to the man who devoted himself to the Quran, go on reciting the Quran and continue ascending the stories of Jannah, paradise, and recite in the slow manner you had been reciting in the world. Your final abode will be where you reach at the time of the last ayah of your recitation. The man of Quran apparently means a hafiz. Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah has explained it fully, that this honor is reserved for a hafiz, and that this hadith does not apply to the one who reads by looking into the holy book. First, because the words man of Quran points towards a hafiz, and secondly, there is a tradition in Musnad Ahmad, حَتَّى يَقْرَأَ شَيْئًا مَعَهُ, till he reads of whatever Quran is with him. This word more clearly refers to a hafiz, although a reader who remains very often engaged in reciting the Quran may also be implied. It is written in Milqat that this hadith does not apply to a reader who is accursed by the Quran. This is with reference to the hadith that there are many readers of the Quran who read the Quran, but the Quran invokes curses upon them. Therefore, the reading of Quran by a person who does not adhere to the correct tenets does not constitute an argument that he is acceptable to Allah. Many ahadith of this type relate to the Khawarij. In this commentary, Shah Abdul Aziz rahimahullah has written that tartil literally means reading with good and clear pronunciation, while according to Islamic principle, it means reading in accordance with certain rules as follows. The letters of the alphabet should be correctly uttered to ensure their correct pronunciation, so that ta is not read as ta and da and so on. Stopping correctly at the pauses, so that the joining or finishing of the verses may not take place at inappropriate places. The correct pronunciation of the vowel signs, sounds. Raising the voice slightly so that the words of the Quran uttered by the mouth may reach the ears and thus influence the heart. Tashdeed and mad, prolongation of letters, should be fully pronounced, because this reveals the grandeur of the Quran and adds to its effectiveness.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. As we had previously mentioned, to complete our roza and make it a perfect roza, amongst other things, we must keep roza of the tongue also. From the tongue, when we commit gunas, backbiting, lying, swearing, whatever, a terrible stench emanates from here, and that smell is so terrible that Allah Ta'ala, who has fixed malaika, angels, farishtas for our protection, Allah Ta'ala says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That Allah Ta'ala has put malaika, Allah has given everyone his security free of charge. Everyone has got his security, and there couldn't be better security than the security of Allah Ta'ala. They are mu'aqibat, your security, your protectors, in front of you and at the back of you. You've got such security. And the system of Allah Ta'ala, of His security, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah Ta'ala doesn't change it. Allah keeps that security until you yourself change that security. You discharge them. And how is that? Which comes in a hadith, a person speaks a lie, for example, and we might enjoy that lie. We backbite about somebody, and we might be rolling on our stomachs when we backbite about somebody, and in our mind we have belittled him, we have made him small. Our whole body might be shaking in laughter because we are backbiting about him. But the effect of this is that those malaika, they can't take the smell of it. That a terrible smell comes. To understand this, one example, we were once in the Kruger National Park, and we had come across a place where the lions had made their kill. It was all over already, that we didn't see, but the carcass of the giraffe was lying there. And these birds, vultures, etc., they were eating on that. So we stopped there to see, and when we opened the car windows, there was such a terrible smell of that carcass of 3-4 days, 5-6 days, whatever it might be, a terrible smell which we couldn't take at all. We had to put up the windows immediately, apply ether, and go away from there immediately. But for those vultures, it was biryani smell for them. There couldn't be a better smell for them. So like that, when we bite, there can be a better thing, we enjoying ourselves. But the smell for the malaika, they can't take it. And they go to a distance away where the smell, they cannot smell it anymore. Now, we got no security. Now, if an accident takes place, we have to blame ourselves. Now, if crooks come and they have the better of us, we have to blame ourselves. Now, you get a heart attack, clot of the blood or something, you have to blame yourself now. That security which Allah had put, and Allah doesn't change that security system, but we changed it. When we commit other gunas, then the security, they can't take it, they go away. So Allah has given us our security, and we must not change that security. So when we are backbiting, we are lying, etc., whatever. And today it's also a sad case, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, other our Kabir ulama have written. We try and fool ourselves. That's a very great weakness which we are suffering. When we backbiting, we say we're just relating facts. Backbiting is when you are speaking the truth. Maulana, from Allahabad, Maulana Qamar al-Zama sahab, Da'amat Barakatuh, he says, sometimes to speak the truth is also haram. It's like in backbiting, if you are speaking the truth behind the person's back, this is haram. So speaking the truth there is haram. And if you are lying, it's a double guna. Then it is false accusation also, that this person did this, did that. He did not. Backbiting is when actually he had done that. And now you're discussing it and belittling him, that this person did this, and actually he did do that. That bad act, that guna, whatever, he did do it. And now you backbite about him. So that is now, that is backbiting, and that is speaking the truth behind his back, and yet to speak the truth is haram. And if you are lying that he didn't do something, then that's a double guna, and both are major gunas. Guna e kabira. So how many of us are guilty of this? So much so that there are people right in the haram of Makkah. We've gone for Umrah, everyone is saying, Mashallah, they've gone for Umrah. And sitting right in the Mataf, right with the Kaaba Sharif in front, and backbiting there also, speaking about people, bad about people, etc. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, when a person says that people are bad, today bad, there's no good left in the bed, then this is the worst of them. A person who says that, he is the worst of them all. So this tongue is very, very serious matter. It's a small little part of the body, but it is a very serious matter to look after the tongue. There we backbite. A person might go in Jamaat, and we're sitting now for Mashura. We made wuzu, we made 2 rakats of namaz, and now we start discussing somebody. And shaitan will come in such a way, and now sitting in the masjid after making wudu and 2 rakats namaz, Salatul Chash, and now we are backbiting there. It happens in the Khanqah. And therefore, to speak as little as possible. Because the minute a person starts speaking, then shaitan comes in. And then he makes you speak all other things. So yeah, in the Khanqah, for example, whole day you made ibadat, everything. After Taraweeh, we're having some desserts and that. Now we just start talking, how was today's Taraweeh? Now somebody said something which was the truth also. But that person wouldn't like it
that you spoke this about. That is now ghibah. And then whoever is listening, that person is 100% accomplice to it also. Unless he stops that person, don't be a backbite, or he gets up and goes away, but he also sits and enjoys. And in fact, as our Sheikh Damat Barakatum says, yeah, good you said this, I never knew this, it's true what you say. Now that you became an accomplice, and you also 100% guilty now in that backbiting. And sadly, we just pass it off as we're just talking. We don't even think of it. So we don't even make tawbah after that, istighfar after that. And with regard to that, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has written that when you have backbited about somebody, and until that person doesn't know, it's not necessary to go and ask him for maaf. And in fact, to go and ask him for maaf when he doesn't know is more worse. Because why is backbiting made haram? That person feels hurt that this person spoke like this about me. Now tell he didn't know, he didn't know. Now you intend telling that I backbited about you, or I sat in a gathering and these 3-4 people we were sitting and we were backbite. Now he comes to know. Now he feels hurt. So until he doesn't know, it isn't necessary that you have to phone him and tell him somebody is in London, somebody is in America, somebody is in Jeddah, and you backbite about him here in South Africa. Now you don't have to phone him, send him an email and show your piety. To know what is piety is also a great thing. Many times we are impious and we regard that as piety. And many the people who don't know, they regard somebody as impious, whereas that person is very pious. So anyway, we think we're very pious now and we go and ask him for maaf, etc. We are causing more damage. We asked maafi on our behalf. 4 or 5 people are sitting in that gathering, and the other 4 or 5, now that person came to know about them also. That all of this in front of me, they carry on like they're my very good friends, and they talk so nice and everything, how they praise me in front of me, but see what they're saying behind my back. Now you have caused them more hurt. So you don't have to let them know. But in that gathering again, in front of those people where you heard or where you spoke, again in front of them, tell them, you know, I did a very stupid thing. He isn't like that. He's a good person. Speak good about him. And read 3 times Qul Huwallah, read 10 times La ilaha illallah, anything. Subhanallah 5 times, 10 times. Pass the sawab to him. The harm that we have caused, now pass some sawab to that person. So this is, and our Shaykh Damat Barakatum Jazawumullah Khair says that Allah made backbiting haram. This proves that how lot love Allah has got for His creation, and in fact for His sinful creation. Because you will normally backbite about those who have done something wrong. Whatever wrong they have done, you backbite about them. It is just like a father, his children, they have done, one child has done something wrong. Now the father doesn't like the other children to speak about it. He will deal with the child as he wants to. But that the others must now taunt him, and they must speak bad and belittle him, the father doesn't like that. So Allah doesn't like that His creation, though they have done something wrong, that the others must taunt them and speak bad about them. So how much love Allah has got for them. Then the other thing again, which is a very serious matter also, we might be backbiting about that person. That person might as he has made tawbah already, and now he's innocent. At-ta'ibu min adham kamal la dhambala. A person who makes tawbah of a guna is like he did not commit the guna. When we read the dua, wa'afu anna, O Allah, forgive us. What is actually wa'afu anna? Ay umhu athar dhunubina. O Allah, wipe out, rub out, destroy the files of our gunas. And whenever a person commits a guna, there are 4 files opened on that person. And when we make this dua sincerely, what its essence, then Allah Himself destroys all those files. So now that person, if he has made tawbah and he has asked forgiveness, his files are destroyed, there is no record of that guna, and we keep on taunting that person about that. Then how bad is that? And now we are still speaking bad. He has become a wali now by tawbah, a person, at-ta'ibu habibullah. A person who makes tawbah is the beloved, is the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Though outwardly he might have committed that guna, and he might outwardly it seems he's still like involved, but he made tawbah in his heart. And we now making ghibat with big round topis, khanka topis on our head, big beards and long kurtas, and we making ghibat, we are thrown out by Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, a person must be very careful. And if we learn to control the tongue, and we don't use it in all these things, and in the month of Ramadan, don't use it in right also. Just like we don't eat halal food also in Ramadan during the day. And we don't drink also, and we don't engage with our wives also sexually, which is all halal for us normally. But in Ramadan it isn't. So even other halal speech, as much as possible, cut it out. Only what is absolutely necessary. By the barakat of that, and make the niyat of our islah. By the barakat of it, Allah Ta'ala will give us one sidqi lisan, a truthful tongue. And the other is, وَجَلْنَا خَالِسَةً لِذِكْرِ الدِّيَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ خَالِسَةً لِذِكْرِ الدِّيَارِ. Allah will make our tongues that we will only make zikr of Allah. Talk about akhirat. The zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah will make us ratbul lisan, that all the time our tongues are engaged in the zikr of Allah ta'ala. And when we speak, we will speak such solid things that people will say, this person, what he says is 100% right. If he has said this, it must be like that. Allah will bless us with that. So this great treasure, Allah will bless us if we keep the roza of the tongue also. Again, just like roza is not staying hungry. Roza is something else. Saum. And saum, which is a protection, it's a shield. So that is something else. And staying hungry is something else. In the same way, roza of the tongue is something else, and just keeping quiet is something else. If we keep roza of the tongue, and we protect the tongue, make it a shield, that we don't use it for wrong things. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then, the next thing, which ayat we had read yesterday, and we did not get further on to that, is the roza of the eyes also. That also is a major thing. And that is what it means, don't look at any haram. Don't not only at what we think as haram, normally we think looking at other women, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ. What we have given to other people, their wealth and all those things, don't even look at that with a greedy eye. Let's look, these people, they bought a new Jaguar today. These people, they bought a new fridge today. These people, they bought this here today. And we don't even have that lalach. One Sahabi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, asked Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, izni wa awjiz. Make me wa'az. Bayan, give me a lecture. But at the same time, he said, Sahaba was so open in the, what was in their hearts was on their tongue. They say, I don't want a long bayan. I want to give me bayan, but make it short. Wa'ujiz. And not only short really, but that it must be jami'. It must be, what's the English word? Comprehensive. Few words, but lot of meaning. Three advices Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتٍ مُوَدَّعٍ. Whenever you stand up for your namaz, make it as though this is the last namaz of my life. Just this one muraqabah, and a few namazes, not a few days, a few namazes, and see the quality of namaz. Every namaz, if a person thinks, this is my last namaz. And nobody is going to die when you think that this is my last namaz. Death will only come on its time. It's not going to come before nor later. The second, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعَذَرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Don't speak such a thing that tomorrow you have to go and ask maafi from that person. that it was wrong what I told. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. So be careful, think what you speak. And so again, about the tongue, that how important it is that we must control the tongue. That don't go and speak, because tomorrow either means the day of Qiyamah, you'll have to go and ask for maaf, and as it comes, who are going to be prepared to let go and make maaf on Qiyamah's day? And everyone here, we don't realize the value of one sawab. There we, everyone, in fact, one person will come in by Allah Ta'ala, he'll be short of only one sawab to go to Jannah. His scales are 100% in the balance. Just one sawab will tip it this way. So Allah says, go and look, he'll come back. Allah will be surprised. On this day, who gave you a sawab? Yeah, everyone is so desperate for sawab. Who gave you a sawab? Yeah. So sawab's value we'll realize there. Yeah, we hear that this thing, sawabs are so much, and sometimes in our ignorance, we say that, well, I've gained a lot already. I've already a multi-millionaire. One, subhanallah, is so much. Tamla'ul mizan, tamla'ul ma'abayna samai wal ard. All this, alhamdulillah, so lot. But there we will realize what's the value of a sawab. So on the day of Qiyamah, which is the Quran Sharif draws the picture, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The very close people will run away from one another, that perhaps he'll ask me one neki. Perhaps the husband will see his wife, he'll go different. She might just ask me for one neki here today. The father for the children, yeah, you are supposed, prepared to do everything for them. Therefore, one neki, you'll run away from one. You won't want to meet one another. So this is a dunya harthul akhirah. This is the tillage, the farm for the akhirah. This is the plant. And yeah, what we plant, yeah, if we spend in the path of Allah, you one rain, one whatever you spend, is like 700 in the path, like a cob, which has got 700 danas. And even more Allah gives. Whatever we are planting, we'll get the returns in the akhirat. So this is the chance for us. So it's a tillage for akhirat. Our words that we speak, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't speak such things that tomorrow you have to go and ask for forgiveness for. So it refers to the day of Qiyamah, and it can refer to tomorrow, yeah. That today you told your wife something and you realize it was wrong. You told your worker something, and to go and ask maafi from your worker is very hard. How are you going to ask maafi? And there is a way. You told your children something wrong. And that also we only learn from Buzurganidin. Our Shaykh Dhamad Barakatum Jazawumullah Khair is taught that, for example, if the parents have done something wrong in the right of their children, shouted them, it happens many times, we shout them, afterwards we realize, no, it wasn't them. Or your worker, and they are like of a lower standard than you. Now how are you going to ask them maaf? You don't have to ask them for maaf. There what you have to do, make them happy. You give them, for example, your child, you give him a 10 rand. Or you tell him something, you make him happy. The same way with your worker also. You make him happy, give him something. But we hardly are conscious of these things. And if you have to go and ask for maaf, to go and ask maaf from your superior today is so difficult. And from the one who's equal to you, from your child, how are you going to ask? From the people who are lower than you, how are you going to ask? So anyway, from your children, you don't have to ask maaf. Otherwise, you might spoil their heads. They might think that my father asked me for maaf, and they want to take advantage of you. But in a different way, some way or the other, make up for it and make them happy. So the workers also, if you have to go and ask him for maaf, he's a person of your age or maybe elder than you, but he's working for you. He's just doing a simple job and he's getting a small wage, but you saw him, you shouted at him. Now you have to go and ask him for maaf. How difficult won't that be? And the third, وَأَجْمَعِ الْأَيَاسِ فِيمَا أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And gather all losing of hope, become completely hopeless of what is in other people's hands. In other words, don't look with a greedy eye what Allah has given to other people. So the person mustn't look at, so لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ. What we have given other people, don't look with a greedy eye. And a person who does this, who looks with a greedy eye, these people have they pulled out this kind of motor car today. Today they've gone for a holiday like that. And we also. So the harms of it are so great. If you, for example, you were a pious person, regular with your namaz, tilawat, everything. But now that came in your heart, that I also must have a car like that. Now the thoughts of yours, now your concentration in namaz will go. Now you're going to think of that all the time. Your du'as, your tahajjud, everything. Now your thoughts will be about that. Then you'll try and now acquire. Now more than thoughts, you're going to start making more effort. Where you had so many of our friends, they had enough time to make 3 suparas, Quran Sharif, tilawat a day, to do so much nafil, etc. But now this greed of dunya came, now we haven't got time for tilawat anymore. For du'as. We're spending half an hour in du'as, 5-10 minutes in du'as. Now that you want dunya, now you haven't got time. Now you are actually in a loss. You are not gaining. Dunya's gain is actually a loss. It's temporary. You are gaining the gains of akhirat, which are eternal, everlasting. So you have gone in a loss, but you don't realize it. You think I'm gaining. Now after you tried to acquire it, you didn't get it in a halal way. Now you think even of haram ways. Now your mind will go to getting money, win a lotto, win this, win that, something, and make big money quickly, and so that I can get what I want to. Still you can't get it, then you'll start hating those people. Because you couldn't, it's sour grapes now. You couldn't get what they have got, now you start backbiting about them. Now you are jealous about them, and you'll fall into so many gunas. And it can lead further on that you start fighting, and it happens a lot. That people, because they don't, we don't have what they have got, now we start fighting with them. And if you are a religious person, you'll make the basis a religious point. You made that because of this religious point, but actually it's not you are so concerned. You are jealous now. Of his dunya, you are jealous. So where a person drops. So how beautiful Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cut it right from the root, that don't have greed of what other people have got. So the eyes don't look also at all those things. Eyes don't look at all the entertainment also. Even a circus is in town, don't even drive past the circus. Your children are going to look at that side. Don't even look at that side. Some other entertainment of this, don't even look at it. From here, the billboards also. Try your best not to look at the billboards also. Because all you're going to get attracted. And one basic principle of advertisement on the TV, anywhere, on billboards, they know the people are speeding. This road here, the speed limit is 60 kilometers per hour, 100 kilometers per hour, whatever. So how you just see the billboard for a few seconds. Or on TV, the advert just comes for a few seconds, hardly seconds, just for a little while. And they repeat it again. This repetition. Then any person, now you become, what is this about? You just inquire. And then from there your interest grows. It goes more and more. Whatever it is, you might think, well, this thing I need also, this is very good for me also. This medicine they are advertising, whatever. So that is, they work on that principle. So when you keep on seeing, you are now getting invited towards that. And the magazines which come into our houses. And today many of our Islamic magazines also. The adverts in the Islamic magazine, there are no pictures also, that's quite in order. But their lifestyle, their dressing, etc. In the house, how to make up your house. So we find vast majority of our houses, without necessity, we make it how their houses. Either we stay in a hotel somewhere, we see, oh, now I must make my bedroom like this. I must make my bathroom like this. Or it comes from this magazines. And they are dedicated magazines of how to furnish your house, how to make your house look nice. And what does it mean to look nice? Western pattern. Their way of life. One time, when Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was here, there was an ijtima. And one person, it was the day they were leaving the country, and one person who became close to Maulana Saeed Sahib, he told him in Newtown Masjid, I was also there at that time, that Hadrat, I'm inviting you to my house for breakfast. They'd become like friends. So Hadrat was also open with him. And he told him, no, I won't come. So he said, why, Hazrat? I'm inviting you, you're not coming. He said, you're not inviting me for breakfast. He said, I'm inviting you for breakfast. He said, no, you're inviting me for barakat in your house. That I will come, you think of me as a pious person, I'll come to your house, there will be barakat. So he said, yeah, that is true. That is why I'm inviting you for barakat. Hazrat then told him that in your house, as far as I see, you have got a complete Western way of life. Your sofas, your settees, your everything else is total Western way of life. By me coming, what barakat is going to come? You make your house sunnat style, according to sunnat. Where there is a necessity, you need a high pen of necessity, not just because it's their tariqah. Then it's a different story. But everything of theirs, just because it's their way, and without us realizing. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. تَرْكَنُوا, most of the Mufassirin have written, الْمَيْلُ الْيَسِيرُ. Don't even have a slight inclination towards the ways of the wrongdoers. And Maulana Alim Yasab said, that مَيْلَانِ قَلْبِهِ. From your heart also don't have a desire of their things. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. If you do so, the fire is going to come in and overtake you. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And then you'll have no helpers besides. If Allah has to send this azab and punishment on you, no helpers going to come. And nobody will be able to help you. So that way of life. So Manana told, there with that, if you take that out and you bring sunnah, automatic barakat will come. Even without me or any buzur coming, barakat will come. And now a buzur comes, there will be more barakat. And for example, we invite some big Maulisab, our Hazrat, our Shaykh, or anyone else to come to our business where we're doing haram business. And we tell him, make dua for us. And if he knows it is haram business and he goes and make dua for barakat, forget barakat, he'll lose his iman also. That he's making dua for barakat in haram. So today this is our condition. So anyway, the lifestyle, don't even look at their things, their magazines, etc. Don't even look at these things. We must have our way of life. And how can we, when a person trades in his motor car, he doesn't trade in his car of 2005 for 1995 model. He will trade in his car for a better model, a newer model. So we want to trade in sunnat for their filth and dirt. How can we trade in a sunnat for that? We must bring more sunnat into our life. The Mubarak, we say with our tongue, as one buzurg says, people are big liars. They say with their tongue, we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while they follow the ways of the enemies of Islam. So we are not truthful to ourselves. Anyway, the use of the eyes. But the main thing, what under our discussion, all these things also we must consider. But looking at other women, that is the main discussion about guarding the eyes. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum, and really if we just have to be with Hazrat for a while, and any person who just understands the teachings and the mawqaf, the standpoint of Hazrat, what Allah has blessed our Shaykh with. What deep insight. It's unbelievable. Then the dreams the people are seeing, what dreams people are seeing. All this Hazrat says, I got it only on account of one thing, guarding of the eye. All the other things if we do, what won't happen? But just on guarding the eye, then Hazrat says, Allah Ta'ala will bless us with all this. So the eye is a very, very dangerous. It is such a camera, a video camera or another camera can't capture what the eye captures. A video camera just puts it onto its record and you can print it out. But this with camera, it sends the picture into the mind and it's stored there for life. You pull out pictures from there, what pictures of what times you pull out pictures and what odd times. Sometimes you are busy with namaz, you are in sajda and a picture came out of 20 years ago. And now not only the picture comes out, the printout of the video on your computer, you'll make a printout. It's a dead printout. But this picture will start working the whole system. How many people after 30, 40 years go and phone the school girlfriends again? find out, and what effort they make to find out where she is now, what's her phone number, where is, she's a married woman, she's a grandmother, but that picture of when you were at school, that picture comes out again. And now she tells you now, I'm a roly-poly, I'm gone round, I'm a 20 liter oil drum now, no, 44 gallon oil drum. I'm not that girl you thought of me when we were at school, but you got that picture in your mind. So this camera, it destroys a person. It can destroy. On the other hand, with this camera, you look at Kaaba Sharif just sitting in the haram, and so 60, 120 Allah's rahmat down, 60 for those just who look at the Kaaba. You look at your mother, your father with love and reverence, maqbool hajj sawab you get. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, if you look 60 times a day, 60 maqbool hajj. Ishraq namaz is maqbool hajj and umrah. But you look at your parents with love and reverence. And in the same way, that camera, you think my mother has passed away, love what for her. Automatic duas come out from your heart. For your father, inshallah, there will be a lot of sawab for that also. Though they're not alive and you're seeing them, but just thinking of them, and now you're making duas. You even think of how lot you trouble them, and now you're making even more duas, Ya Allah, you compensate them. And then you think what and what your father did for you, what and what your mother did for you. If nothing else, one drop of mercy breastfed you, your whole life you can't repay her. Your father, what and what he has done, what favors that they just do the cause of you to come onto this world, safhaya hasti pe, just to come. We don't realize, not only to be a human being, to be a Muslim is a big ni'mat, just that Allah brought us onto the stage of this world, where you make mushahada, you witness Allah's qudrat everywhere, whether it is that small insect that has come in this world. What ni'mats of Allah on that small insect. Just that Allah brought you into his beauty parlor. He brought you into his place here. He gave you even a snake, even a scorpion, that they're getting oxygen, they're getting water, they're getting food. What and what Allah's qudrat is upon them. Then Allah made you insan, Allah made you Muslim, Allah made you mu'min, Allah blessed us with Ramadan, Allah blessed us with the Khanqah, Allah blessed us. What ni'mats of Allah. And each ni'mats have got billions of other ni'mats behind it. So what ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Maulana Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri, Damat Barakatum, explained, when Adam Ali Salatu Wasalam came in this world, and now he had to eat, to make one roti, he needed 360 things. In Jannat it was ready all the time. All the time he should get everything ready. Just to make one roti, 360 things. And today we also don't realize, for one slice, half slice bread, for one cup of water, even if it's warm, warm water, not that cold water, Allahu Akbar, millions of things work behind it. And all are beyond human capacity. We think we are doing it all. It's just we are fooling. Allah is the doer of everything. We are just puppets on the stage, and the strings are pulled from behind. We do nothing whatsoever. Allah alone is the doer of everything. So what ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala upon us. So anyway, with this eyes, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, what Allah has given me is by the protection of the eyes. Whatever. And Hazrat's Khulafa, we have Maulana Ruhul Amin sahab, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, how many of other, what Hazrat says in one beautiful poem, Hazaro Nehre Mere Darya Se Jari Hue, it's more or less the words, that thousands of tributaries have come out from my river, Phir Me Mere Darya Ka Tughyani Nahi Jata. But still, the strongness, the strong flow, thousands of tributaries have come out from my river, but still my river is just as strong as ever. When you are taken from Allah, that level can't drop down. That level, no matter how much goes out, the level. So how Allah has, and all this is what I'm trying to emphasize for myself and for all of us, by the looking after of the eyes. And this eyes is such a thing that it isn't only what you had seen there. you are now in the Khanqah, you are in Atikaf 30 days. You Atikaf for 30 days. And you made Atikaf niyat of 40 days in fact. And you are in the Khanqah. But this eyes, they around the world, wherever you are. Wherever you went in the world, the eye will bring that picture back again. All the records, the files are 100% intact. And it opens up whichever file it wants to. And now you are looking at this, you are look. Now you are, everyone say, oh, my husband, he's sitting for Atikaf 30 days, 40 days. This one is gone for Jamaat, that one is gone. But inside, you are quiet now. You have pulled a blanket over your head, and now what you, and Allahu Akbar. Buzurgs have said that there are two times when a person can find out what is in his heart. And it's exceptionally important that we have to know what is in my heart. Otherwise, you go and do an angiogram, then they find out how's your heart set physically, outwardly. You do a sauna of the heart, and that is also amazing to see how the heart pumps. But more than that, what are the thoughts? What are the yaqeen? What is in the heart? And why is this so important? Because at the time of maut, not what is on the tongue is going to come out, but what is in the heart is going to come out. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali should give this very wonderful example. You have a parrot. We have taught the parrot salam. It knows a few ayats of Quran Sharif or whatever else, zikr. The Quran parrot is making zikr, everything. Visitors come and you now make it sing or whatever. You feel happy. Everyone feels happy about it. But the day the parrot comes out, it's in the clutches of the dog or the cat. Now it forgets all that immediately, that fear and that fright that the cat is going to eat it up now, that the dog is going to eat it up now. It forgets all that 12 years of training. One king, he trained his cats in such a way that he called his chief minister and he told him, see, what do you think of my training? That the cats on two rows he had put them. And standing on their hind legs, standing straight up. And he put a candle on their head, and they were not moving. And it's like two, like poles with lights on them, and two rows like that. So the minister was a minister who gives good advice to the king. He says that everything has to be tested. You don't just see the outside. So for testing, he brought a rat in a bag. And the rat was still in the bag. And the antennas of the cats, the whiskers, they caught up. There's something here in the radar. It came. There's a rat around here. And the minute he opened the bag, 12 years training of that the cats was all destroyed. They forgot all that. So that is the condition of a person. Our Sheikh Muhammad Barakatum says that 12 years you in the Khanqah, but if you haven't become solid, one woman you see, and there your mind goes that way. How many of us, so much of training, and then, and our Sheikh Muhammad Barakatum says, that when the cat comes out, all the rats, they made a big meeting they had, that this cat is troubling us too much. So what we must do, is put a bell around the cat's neck. Oh, all clapping hands and very wonderful, what a suggestion. So that when the cat comes from far, we know that the cat is here and we can run. Now who's going to put the bell? That's a big question. Who's going to put the bell around the cat? So anyway, when the cat comes, Hadrat says, then those rats and the mice, they just dash for it, wherever they can go. And then they don't see whether it's a clean hole, a dirty hole, a white hole, a black hole, whichever hole they find, they go. So when the nafs makes zor on a person, then he doesn't see also where he goes, how he disgraces himself, how he humiliates himself, and then with beard, full beard and big round to a khanqa topi, what is that person when the nafs, so how so strong is the nafs? So the spirit, that through how many years of training, but when it comes in the clutches of the dog, of the cat, it forgets all that training. And what comes out now? The inside words, what is its original. That what is recorded, its original, te, 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 that will come out. That beautiful salam and that beautiful zikr, and you taught it Nara Mastana or whatever else, all that it will forget also. What will be inside? So at the time of maut, this is the serious matter. Whereas we are hearing in the kitab, when malakul maut will come, at that time we will forget what is on our tongue. What will be in the heart recorded, that is going to, if we got kalima recorded in the heart, whatever is recorded in the heart, that is going to come out. Otherwise, yeah, in this world, what is the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, it is our training to remind, what is dhikr? To remind us of Allah, the presence of Allah. And when we are sitting here, in the, whenever training is done, it is done in protected conditions. Training is not done by the enemy, it's done in protected. So yeah, in the masjid we are 100% protected, but when we go out from here, there are women on the street. Now is to see that how much the training helped us. Now that is where we have to see. To become a pilot, they teach you now on computer everything you do, all funny, all serious accidents also, how you handle them, all is done on the but now when you are actually flying, that is the time to see. So yeah, also that yeah, we are protected. Those who are in the Khanqa, you are there, no woman here. We are also very fortunate, which we must make shukr, that in the masjid there are no female cleaners. Otherwise, in good people's masjids, there are female cleaners. And no matter who that female is, there is an Arabic saying that for everything lying on the ground, there is somebody to pick it up. It can be لِكُلِّ سَاقِتَةٍ لَاقِتَةٍ. For everything, no matter what the thing is, there will be somebody. So no matter what that woman can be like, there is somebody who will be interested in her. And then yeah, in the masjid, so we are fortunate, Allah saved us from that also. One good Darul Uloom I went, and I saw the in the laundry, which is like part of that, not separate also, all women working there. And the students are just mixing, talking and going, joking with them also. How dangerous is that? So dangerous this is. And when our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says these things, many principals of Darul Ulum also don't like Hazrat, because these are the things he picks up on. And this is what he points out. So anyway, we are safe from that also. So we have to be what were we saying? What is in the heart will come out. One is and we have to know before time what is in the heart, not when maut will come, then it's too late. How are you going to fix it up now? So there are two times you will know what is in your heart. One is when you lie down to sleep. You read your du'as also. You're a pious person. You don't forget your du'as. You read them. But you don't fall asleep immediately. Now what thoughts come to you? If it is some bad, evil thoughts, then that is what is in the heart. Now when you are free, what comes? You might be with your wife. She might be sleeping right next to you. But at this time, your thoughts may be going, your wife, halal wife, which is hardly a few centimeters away from you. But you're not even thinking about her. You're thinking of some woman in Bombay. You're thinking of some woman in some other part of the world. At that time, that will come. What is in the heart will come out. And then you'll play out what were things at that time. And the other time is in namaz. What comes to us in namaz? When what opens up in namaz, that is what is in the heart. If Allah is in the heart, Allah's thoughts will come. And if Allah's thoughts are there, not only in namaz, all the time we'll think of Allah. But if Allah is not in the heart, even in namaz we come to Allah's house. You go to anyone's house and the worker or the wife says, he's not at home, you go away. We come to Allah's house and we don't find Allah. Allah is there, Allah is everywhere, but we don't find Allah. Now we engage in a direct meeting with Allah. You went to somebody's house to have a discussion with him. You start the discussion, but you don't still find the person. Okay? We are in namaz, which Allah Ta'ala said is exclusive for my remembrance. But in namaz, we don't think of Allah Ta'ala. So what is in the heart comes out. And this is the zikr. We have to keep on making zikr until that time that if somebody puts a gun to your head, many times it might be a blank gun, whether it's blank or it's a loaded gun, but you go blank at that time. If somebody puts a gun to your head, you go blank. Nothing comes to your mind, nothing whatsoever. You just gone blank. So that shouldn't be. At that time you should think of Allah. And that might happen rarely. May Allah save us all from such a test. But if what call it, when you see a woman, that test will come all the time. That time we don't go blank. And we think all the other negative things all the time. And what and what. So the zikr is at that time we think about Allah. That Allah's command, لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ. Don't stretch your eyes and look at these people. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Cast your gazes low. So this in Ramzan now, what will be the roza of the eyes? Even jais things, who don't look at them, which are not necessary for you to look. On the dastarkhan there are many things. And you can look at many things. In the khanqa, people have come with different types of clothing. People have got different type of cell phones. All other things also. So don't you worry about all that. You just keep your eyes where you have to. Like a driver must just keep his eyes on the road. There are so many things on the side. And many accidents take place. Canada, there is a law that no billboards are allowed. Which saves accidents to a great extent. All this advertising, etc., on billboards, it's not allowed there. So when you drive, you don't get attracted by these things. But still, sceneries, buildings, all these things attract us. So just keep your eyes on the road. When Hazraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, somebody was driving him to Heathrow Airport in London. And people got habits. The driver had a habit of looking around everywhere. So Hazraji told him, just pull up on the side. When he pulled up, told him, now look as much as you want to everywhere. But when you drive again, keep your eyes on the road. If you look around, how dangerous isn't it? So in life, if we look around, and a person who has learned to focus, that's what a great ni'mat of Allah. Forget deeni matters in your dunya's matters. How many problems we get of students, they don't know attention. Their minds are wandering. A person who can focus on your work, what you have to do, it's a great ni'mat. Otherwise, many of us, namaz, we don't focus. How many of our dunya's things, we make so big mistakes, we can't believe afterwards, I made this mistake here. We don't focus, you see a 3 as a 8, and you write it, you see a 5 as a 6. How many mistakes we make? And there you sit with big, big problems. You just can't reconcile your matter, because you weren't focusing. Ghaflat. Unmindfulness. You have to write the credit balance, bring it forward for as a credit balance brought forward. You brought the balance forward. Instead of the credit balance, you brought the whole big balance. Now your books are just not all this because you're not focused. So if you learn to focus, and zikr will help a person to focus. Dunya's benefits also, deen's benefits also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Make our islah in this month and see what benefits we will get, inshallah. Thank you.